Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's three in a row with your three favorite men. We have a very packed episode to get through today. It's been a little while since we spoke. We're going to talk about the English Premier League, of course. Arsenal still top of the league. United falling victim to Man City. We're going to investigate Ten Hag's reign so far. The racismo that Vinicius and Richarlison have experienced. We're going to talk about the international break itself. Liverpool, Chelsea, PSG, Spain. Let's try and get into as much as we can over the next 1 hour. Boys, check in. Ifatu, how you doing? How's Lagos?
I'm great. Lagos is Lagos. I'm happy to be here for another episode, I guess. Like you said, my club got the trash, and so I'm not very excited with the performances. But yeah, let's keep it pushing.
It feels like we begin a lot of episodes like that. My club is not doing too well, so...
Guys, please just move on.
Damola, how are you?
I am doing pretty all right. It was a fantastic result over the weekend for the lads. Work's been busy, but you know, it is what it is. Also, it's not only Arsenal men that, you know, trashed the North London team. Arsenal women also took care of business at the Emirates. So, yeah. All in all, it's the week is off to a fantastic start.
Okay. I mean, as you alluded to there, Damo, there's only one place to begin, really. And that was at the North London Derby. I mean, I would have said City, but it's boring. Yes, City scored six. No more. United sucked. So first, we're going to start with Arsenal and Tottenham. What's the story here, Damo? All the new headlines I'm seeing is, can Arsenal compete against Manchester City? Surely that's just clickbait.
Yeah, no. I think, first of all, the two teams have different goals. Arsenal's goal is top four, although you could say they should aim for the league. And if they get top four, it's like, you know, shooting for the stars, landing on the moon. But I think the big story here is probably, and as weird as it seems, and I want to sing Arsenal's praises, is on the Tottenham side. I think earlier in the season, we alluded to the fact that Tottenham and also United, weirdly enough, will have an issue with their football play when they may be forced to meet teams 50-50 a bit in terms of possession, being on top of the ball and things like that. And as dominant as Arsenal was in their style of play, there was opportunity for Spurs to implement themselves or enforce a certain type of game with possession. And to be honest, they just couldn't do that. Then Arsenal stepped it up a level after going down and coming back after the break. And it showed there's a gulf or there's a further progression between where Arteta and Arsenal is versus where Spurs and Conte is. And it's going to be interesting how that plays down across the line because Spurs still has to face Liverpool. I believe they still have to face City. So they're going to have experiences where we would know if their initial run was just like, you know, vibes and inshallah, or it's something where we should be taking Conte more seriously. So as great as Arsenal was, I think some of my bigger questions have been from the Spurs side. I love Arsenal and I think we played well. Xhaka was fantastic. Nine, if not 10 out of 10.
Please. Can I get some?
Shout out to Ben White. So here's my thing with Ben White. Ben White as a right back is playing fantastically. The one sort of criticism or thing I have to say is I think Saka will get better opportunities cutting in from that right side if Ben White was providing more overlapping support. So if you look at the second goal, Gabriel Jesus, that was like maybe the first time Ben White actually gave Saka a proper overlap and he was able to take the shot that then the whole mistake happened, but Jesus was able to pounce on it. Without that overlap and Saka taking that shot, that mistake does not happen. So Ben White has been fantastic from a shape perspective, from a defense perspective. Going forward, there's still room to grow. But I've been most impressed with Xhaka. Xhaka has been fantastic. One of my guys, Nii, I've been apologizing to him so many times since the season began because I've seen a side of Xhaka I didn't know existed. And it's good to see. I am very happy I was wrong. I'm very happy Arteta kept him. And, you know, come on, Gunners.
Yeah, I mean, I want to touch on the question that you put out there on Conte and Tottenham. I think it's a very interesting one because Tottenham haven't played well this season. But they've been getting results and everybody says that's the Conte way. It's starting to look like it's not just a one-off P. I think they will struggle more this season. But that being said, they have quite a gap on like some of the other teams that should be competing for top four now, like Liverpool, Chelsea and the likes. So I'm surprised if Conte gets the job done again on the top four finish. If I to, how did you see it as a neutral?
I felt like Arsenal were quite obviously the better team for most of the game. The red card that came after the Arsenal second goal quite affected the game, I would say. Even though I don't imagine the scoreline would have been, well, maybe not the scoreline, but like the outcome would have been any different if, you know, they had 11 men on the pitch. I'm not sure they would have done much. But I do think it's beginning to, look a little worrying, Tottenham style of play now, especially, I think, in the Champions League, I don't know if they are doing any better there.
No,
and now they are beginning to fall off in the league as well. So, I don't know. It's just one to watch out for. But personally, I will not quite put out alarm bells yet, right? Because I think they've got Richarlison and they're just trying to find out what they are. Yeah, because I think Conte is the kind of guy that has one best team, right? He has his first team. And I don't think he has that, yet. You know, because he's trying to integrate Richarlison inside and then Son comes in off the bench and scores a hat-trick in his previous game. And then obviously there's now a headache, how do you fit these guys in? Kulusevski is also playing well. So, I don't know. I would not put out alarm. Watch out for more games. But I think Tottenham will be fine. Personally, I think Tottenham will be fine.
But yeah, I agree. I don't think it's alarm bells, but I am still... Like, it's an indication. The same way they said Arsenal losing to United was like a question mark in the progress they've made.
Yeah.
I'd say Spurs losing to us the way they did, because in terms of style of play, they were dominated on the pitch.
Yeah, so it's more of a question mark. His smash and grab rubbish. and then collect the 3 points.
I don't even think Conte came to the Emirates to try to get the win. He tried to get a result, to maybe get a draw or something. So he was playing a bit, negative football. So, they got what they deserved, really. They should come with, more ambitious mentality next time.
If I was a Spurs fan, high key, I would not be happy with Conte in that match. Like any of the decisions, really. Reacting, like, it took him how long to react between the red card and the substitutions that he made. And then when he did make substitutions, he gave up on the game. So between when the red card happened and the
third goal,
he had like 10 minutes.
He made like four substitutions, no? He made like four at the same time. He
took Son's Charleston off.
Rah!
For Sesenyo and Bissouma.
Okay, so hold on that one, I even though it's F Spurs all day every day, I have to actually defend him on this one. It's not like he didn't want to make those subs. It's just in a weird way, Arsenal were so dominant with 11 versus 10 from when the red card happened to when he could make that sub. The ball actually did not go out. So if you watch the touchline replays of that Xhaka goal, you can see Arteta. Sessegnon is right beside him. He had been waiting for a minute trying to come in. Oh, wow. But the ball just did not leave the pitch. So on that one, I can't fault Conte and say, oh, he didn't try to make a sub. He actually tried to bring on Cessinho. It's just we dominated. We didn't give him a chance to make that sub. And when the chance came, it was 3-1. So at that point, he was just like, you know what? The L is here. Let's just rest our boys for the Champions League midweek and keep it pushing. We're already done.
That's another thing that might actually help us know the point that what you just said there about resting for Champions League. We don't have that problem. We can play.
Are you not in Europa League?
Yes, but especially in the group stages, you can play a completely different 11.
All right.
Please, I'm telling you, like if on Thursday I don't see Nwaneri starting, I can fight Arteta. The 15-year-old Nwaneri. If he has exam, he should go and rest smaller big. He should come and play on Thursday.
No, that's not how it works, brother. You're not going to see him again this season.
But
that was like he's 15 years old, bro. He's 15 years old.
That's it.
I'll put it this way. I want my entire starting level rested for Liverpool. The win against Tottenham was beautiful and tasteful, but winning Liverpool will be sweeter.
I got too excited.
No, I do agree. I think you're about to say it's probably going to be more like a statement win, which I do not disagree with. But from me, it's more of a standpoint of the way I want to beat Liverpool now is the same way I want to beat United every time I face them, in that I want to go to Old Trafford and win, because that's something I traditionally don't do. With Liverpool, we haven't won against them in the last 4 league games. I think that needs to change. So this is, for me, this is like this Liverpool game on Sunday. I don't want Arteta to rest everybody that played on Sunday. I beg everybody in that starting level.
Liverpool typically batter Arsenal, and as a fan, to be honest, I'm tired of that narrative. Enough is enough. I just wanted to end on, to be fair, I think if Arsenal beats Liverpool, big if, obviously, because we always lose to Liverpool, although you will never get a better chance to face Liverpool at home with your full squad fit than this. If we do beat Liverpool, Omo, I think it could be a catalyst for a Leicester type season, though. Let me not yarn too much, but I think then you're like you're 10 games into the season. You have this period where you've been the best team in the league. I mean, the only problem now is you have to do it 4 times again, and obviously they can't do that. But I mean, it could be a real special one.
So again, I don't think we've been the best team in the league. We're probably about to talk about the best team in the league, which is Manchester City. But we've been, by Manchester City, we've played the best style of football consistently. So I do agree this is probably Arsenal's best chance to beat Liverpool. And who knows, possibly make a title run. And I would love that. I would love that more than anything. It's been a long, hard couple of years right now. But I am realistic. I understand what the target is this year. And, you know, just taking it game by game, we beat who is in front of us.
What's the difference between Arsenal and City? Like, very quickly. Why is everybody so convinced?
I do think going forward, City are still a level above us and all around. So they have number 9, I think, is a level above our number 9. Like, Jesus is great, and I'd say he's near world class, but Haaland is clear world class, as shown in 3 hat tricks already this season.
Ronaldo scored in his career at United.
Exactly. Also, if you look at our most creative force being Odegaard, it's obvious to say De Bruyne is a level above him. And where you could probably make a case is our wingers, because City usually play Grealish and maybe Foden, I believe, on the wing. And I think you could say overall, I'd maybe take Martinelli and Saka over Grealish and Foden. But even then, that's not a clear-cut, like, better. So, like, especially in the attacking side, I think City is a stronger team than us. Arsenal still has a way to go.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Also, the depth, squad depth. One injury to anybody in, like, in any position in Arsenal's first team, really. And the system doesn't work as well anymore. I just wanted to get your take on it. Obviously, there's clear reasons, but I think you covered the main basis. But yeah, that's enough Arsenal. Let's keep watching this train as it keeps rolling on. One more thing. Saliba! Let's go. Let's switch over to Manchester, where things are dark on the red side of the camp. So it was 6-3 at the Etihad this weekend. Ifatu, you must have watched the game. And obviously Manchester City won, I should say. What went on? How did the gap increase so much?
Well, they outplayed us totally, completely. They were a lot more confident. They knew exactly what they wanted to do on the pitch. I don't think they dominated as such in terms of possession, maybe because we were always chasing the game from the get-go. But yes, they just knew exactly what they wanted to do. They were throwing a lot of square balls into the box, crosses into the box. You know, Foden was on it. Haaland was scoring. Haaland was assisting. Our defense was all over the place. Unfortunately, Varane got injured and had to be taken off quite early in the game. But yeah, no excuses, really. We could have done better. We should have done better. But then again, the scoreline is 6-3. It wasn't quite 6-0. I feel like, I don't know, 6-3. I mean, 6 is a lot to concede, I know. And actually, the scoreline even flatters our performance low-key because it could have been, I don't know, 10-2. You know, even the penalty they gave us was quite questionable. But yeah, it was 6-3, right? I don't know. I feel like we should not make that much of a fuss over Manchester City beating us 6-3 at the Etihad, you know, in their current situation with their current striker in Haaland. The guy has scored, I don't know, nobody in the history of life has scored 3 hat-tricks in a row, right?
No.
Nobody has done that.
Yeah, but this is not 3 in a row, is it?
He did it 3 at home at the Etihad. He scored 3 hat-tricks back-to-back-to-back. You know? So, the guy is unreal. There's an extra additive involved in this mixture. And that's the reason why Manchester City are so sound, I would say. And that's why they got so many past the United defense.
Interesting. Was Casemiro injured or is Ten Hag a fraud?
Yeah, I don't know how you buy a midfielder for 70 million, right? And you don't like try to integrate him into the team as a matter of priority. I don't know how you do that. Then again, I'm hearing stats that McTominay is outperforming Casemiro in training. You know, like he's outrunning him. He's, you know, the work rate is higher. And Ten Hag just likes what, you know, I don't know whether it's going to take Casemiro a bit more time to, you know, be able to do what Ten Hag wants him to do on the pitch. But I still think for a game of this caliber, you should have started the 70 million
or maybe
euro midfielder. Maybe. Yes, or maybe both. Brother, thank you. Because we're a bit naive. Why are we starting Bruno and Eriksen against Manchester City? We were actually overrun in the midfield. So yeah, we could have helped to have, you know, 2 defensive-minded midfielders, you know, that would, you know, just try to circulate, you know, get the ball and try to, you know, just push it on. But yeah, maybe naive setup, naive tactic by Erik ten Hag. But yeah, I think it's too early to judge him. The man is just, 2 months into the job. He's lost to Manchester City by 3 goals at the Etihad. It's not as if Manchester City are not flogging every other person. So yeah, let's out look past this and keep being hopeful.
What did you think of his comments on Ronaldo and not bringing him on?
Right. Well, he said he didn't pick Ronaldo. He didn't put Ronaldo in out of respect.
Out of respect, yeah.
For his great career. Yeah.
I mean that makes perfect sense. I don't know why anybody wants to see beef with that. Because I'm not even going to lie, if I'm Ronaldo, you're basically bringing me in for lack of a better term, stupid time.
All right.
You're just bringing me to Mac time for lack of a better term.
Because we're 4-0 down by halftime, no? We're 4-0 down by halftime. So what are you bringing Ronaldo on for? The only thing is, what they could have said is, why did you not start, why did you not start Ronaldo? You know, Rashford is clearly recovering, Rashford has not been fit, right? He couldn't even, turn up for England, right? But we somehow forced him into the team. And then obviously we also tried to integrate Martial in at some point. There's some clear favoritism with Erik ten Hag, which is working against Ronaldo. I think it's quite clear. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. We should respect Cristiano Ronaldo's legacy. I don't know about letting him go, because like, to where? Because which clubs are trying to buy him? Or do you want to like just release him on a free and just make him a free agent? I don't know. I don't know. And we cannot like play Ronaldo out of sentiments, because if you're being honest, Ronaldo is not particularly firing on all cylinders right
poor
now.
Poor form
right?
This season. He's really actually struggling for form.
He was getting booed.
And I think confidence,
at Portugal.
You know?
Yeah, he was getting booed at Portugal during internationals, because I think Portugal lost some game, I think, against the Czech Republic. They were not supposed to lose that game. And they were getting booed. Ronaldo was apparently profligate with chances, wasting chances for the Portuguese team, who started him from the get-go, of course. So, I don't know. It's a certain time for Cristiano. And just out of respect for his greatness, myself personally, I would not want to speak too much on the situation. I prefer to be an observer and shut up about things and see how things pan out.
Meanwhile, we'll get there, but Messi is flying, on the other hand. I love how
Messi is flying.
I will say this, though. The weird thing with Ronaldo is, traditionally, no matter what has gone on in his club life, it's never found a way to affect his national team performances. And I think this is the first time I've seen it clear, like, oh, this thing is actually possibly affecting the way he's performing for the national team. So it's tricky. And as Ifatu said, like, I don't disagree with Ten Hag in that case. In that game, you don't bring in Ronaldo for rubbish minutes, especially because it's disrespectful. It's a bit humiliating. It's not as if he's like not fit. Ronaldo is fit and can play. You just, for tactical reasons or whatever preference, you choose not to play right now. So yeah, bringing on Martial because he's trying to build fitness makes sense. Bringing on Ronaldo, I agree with Ten Hag, would have been a bit disrespectful. And yeah, this is, I don't even know if painful is the word to use for this divorce between Ronaldo and United at this point. But it's a divorce that needs to happen. It's not working out. Ideally, in the summer should have been the best time for him to go. But I guess the interest in him wasn't as high as he thought it would be. I actually don't know what the next step is right now. This is going to be tricky because it's obvious Ronaldo doesn't play the way Ten Hag wants.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he is not in a place where the general direction of, I think, Premier League football, at least, maybe in a different league, is he has something to contribute. But Premier League football, at least, the way he is trending, I'm not exactly sure which top club he can be a direct, like, big impact on, which is sad, man. I appreciate Ronaldo for all he's done for football. But, father time is undefeated, as they say.
It's almost like his star just grew a bit. Well, that it's impossible. It didn't grow too big, but his star grew too big for a fairy tale ending, in a sense, it's just too much. Like, where's he going to go now? Yeah, maybe he can do his Latin and just reinvent himself towards the end of his career.
Man, to be honest, if I'm Ronaldo, I'd be cutting my luck for not taking the City deal and allowing sentiments bring me back to United. Because you see this 60 goals, it looks like Haaland is about to score. If you think about it, in looking at the way City play, they've adapted to Haaland not being an emphatic presser like someone like Jesus. Like, it's not as if Haaland doesn't do some pressing in certain moments, but it's almost like in a weird way, Guardiola adapted. That's not the main thing he's asking of him. Although it doesn't mean the team doesn't press, but when Haaland has to be part of the press or initiates that press, it's the frequency is different from when someone like Gabriel Jesus was there. So the more I'm looking at Haaland and what he's doing with this City supply, the more I think that, man, if I'm Ronaldo, I'm cursing my luck because it could have been me.
Good point. Well said. Quick word on Manchester City and Pep Guardiola. I would just wanted to give them praise. I was looking at the back line for the game, and he started with Manuel Akanji and Nathan Ake. And then after 41 minutes, Sergio Gomez, a brand new right back or left back, came on to play on the right. And it was seamless. They still completely dominated United, but Nathan Ake is Nathan Ake, right? He's not that, like, I mean, he's Nathan Ake. He's not that great. Manuel Akanji was just
no.
Dortmund. And
Nathan Ake is quality. Let's not do that. So that's the thing. We alluded to it a bit earlier. City has a great amount of depth in the way they set up their teams. So although, like, they have Nathan Ake and Akanji as, you know, not starters, to be honest, Liverpool could use one of those two centre backs right now. I'll take one of those two, or if not both, over a current backup for Saliba and Gabriel, which is currently holding at the moment. So let's not say they are not quality. They are quality. They are just not world-class centre backs, which is what City need. So they are quality. But that being said, yes, I agree. Even with the change in the defence, they still kept ticking. And that is something very impressive to see.
Lovely stuff. Now, some more quick hits. Liverpool 3, Brighton 3. Klopp's boys continue to drop points in the Premier League. Damola, how much of this is Liverpool's bad form and how much of this is Brighton, even under a new manager, De Zerbi, just balling out, because they played some fantastic football, didn't they?
I'd say it's 60% bad Liverpool, 40% great Brighton. In the sense that Liverpool still scored 3 goals. So although
Brighton played, goal though.
Yeah, like they still scored 3 goals. And although Brighton played fantastic football, conceding 3 goals means there's an opportunity to be got. That being said, I think that game showed me more how much Liverpool misses Mane than I've heard a lot of Liverpool fans. Like, they've vocalized it in some sense, but they've almost understated it. So Mane's biggest impact to that Liverpool attack was the way he pressed. He initiated that press. You could say there were rooms for improvement in some of his finishing. But in terms of build-up play, initiating that press, pressing from the front, Mane was key to that.
Highest work rate as well.
Exactly, with the highest work rate. And this is not even counting some of the key goals he scored for the team over the course of the 5, if not 6 seasons he was there. So that's the thing, right? And I've been like, because me and my friends were talking about it, like, why are Liverpool so bad defensively? And something key that changed, Tifo Football, I recommend them to anybody interested on, like, tactics of football. They highlighted that last season, the way Liverpool pressed from the front is significantly less to the way they currently do now. The one thing Tifo did not mention was, oh, Mane is not here. Maybe this is why they are not pressing as much. I am being vocal about it. Without Mane, they've lost the ability to press from the front, which means more pressure on the back line in terms of defending. And some of Trent's, the things he has room for improvement is showing up more and more. And the things he's strong at in terms of his attacking play, his build-up play, his delivery, he doesn't have an opportunity to show that as much. So it seemed like a relatively inconsequential change because you have a very high-energy left-wing guy in Diaz, and you signed somebody who's meant to be prolific but hasn't hit the ground running in Nunez to help bolster the attack. But they both bring something that Mane wasn't necessarily lacking on, but they are somehow both lacking in the main thing that Mane brought to the front line. Yes. But that being said, I've spoken a lot about what Liverpool didn't do. Brighton were fantastic. It seems the groundwork Potter left is going to be built on. And a lot of top teams are probably going to stumble against them. Hopefully not Arsenal. But it's interesting to see how far they can go.
I really hope they can keep this up because even with Danny Welbeck up front, they look like they're going to score a lot of goals. And I'm already calculating how I get Trossard into my my fantasy because this might be one that sticks in terms of his current form. But with Liverpool, I get that Mane is gone and that has left a big gap in terms of the press. But has that it must have then had a trickle effect to the rest of the team. Because where are the big boys? You know, where's Salah? Where's Thiago? Where's Fabinho? Where's Van Dijk? They need to step up. What happened to Trent? You know, he's about to lose his place in the England squad because of his defensive mishaps. I think they actually need to go back to the training ground and just work harder.
Klopp needs to stop being in denial about Trent's defensive liability. I feel like last season on three in a row, we're talking about how Trent was improving defensively and all that. Come on, 10 steps back, because he has totally found out, not just him, the Liverpool defense. There's no respect for the Liverpool defense anymore. Van Dijk has lost his aura of invincibility. You know, players are now taking him on and being successful at it. And I think last season or two seasons ago, there was a crazy stat that we had that, oh, nobody actually, like only one Van Dijk was dribbled past like once. They're having Van Dijk for lunch and dinner every afternoon. You know, it's getting ridiculous. Trent is a no-brainer now. You only need to go on Twitter and just type Trent and you're going to see all sorts of clips of all sorts of attackers violating him on that right side. So I don't know. I think the Klopp needs to stop being in denial first of all and look at the defensive side of Liverpool's tactic, you know, because I think that's going to translate eventually to the midfield and then to you know to the attack.
I think actually it's the other way around is what I was looking at, where it's not that it will translate to the midfield. It's that the midfield is gone. The legs in the midfield are gone and it's exposing the defense. That's how I feel. I feel like they did a much better job. Hendo Amun and the likes, they used to do a much better job of covering this
protecting
that was left behind by Trent and Robertson when they bombed forward. Or, you know, just being there to block the channels, block the pass, to allow these guys to keep pressing playing the high line. But now everybody has slacked. So now all of a sudden, Van Dijk is on smoke. He's getting exposed left, right, and center. Trent was always being exposed before, but now, I mean, the fallout is astronomical. Like, they're genuinely in crisis. But I'll still maintain that they'll be okay. And they'll beat most teams.
What do you mean by okay, though? Like, is it not for okay?
Yes, I think Liverpool is, they've shown us in the past that they're perfectly capable of going on, you know, a 10-game unbeaten run, 13-game unbeaten run. I mean, I'm not saying they can do that this season. This is clearly a transition season. But a lot of pundits are saying Liverpool are out of the top four race, simply, I guess, because of the points gap that they have. Or that their opposition have accrued against them. But I just think, they've been too good for too long for them not to click at some point. And I won't be surprised if he starts next week at the Emirates.
Don't you think it's a little bit interesting what they have decided, you know, for their attacking options? Because now it looks like Firmino is benching Diogo Jota, who is benching Darwin Nunez in turn, who was bought for, what, 100M?
Yeah, I mean, Jota, I think, may be back, right? Because he's coming back from injury, which we haven't really gotten to see him this season. Darwin Nunez
has been back for a while, though. He's been back for like maybe like 2-3 weeks now. Like he's been playing.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, they've been bringing him in gradually. I feel like if he was good enough to start, I mean, apart from his fitness, like if he was just on form, they would have started him against Brighton. But they went with Firmino, and Firmino is delivering. So how do you even like take Firmino off the top of the pecking order now?
No, Firmino stays. Firmino, I think you keep that front three. Because Diaz hasn't played that badly either. He scored some bangers this season.
Diaz is doing as Salah is doing. I think Diaz and Salah have the same, you know, I don't think anyone is particularly, you know, outshining the other. They are just assisted, no? Both of them.
So he's scoring some goals. Like, he's having spectacular moments. Oh, speaking of which, I forgot. Anthony Santos got a banger, didn't he? How's he looking? As a player.
I beg you. We are past that.
Okay. Let's keep it pushing for the Premier League. We spoke about talking about Chelsea, but honestly, the performances have not even been good enough. Like, they're not worth it.
But they still won Crystal Palace, though.
Yes, by the skin of their teeth. Or whatever the saying is. And Palace will feel really strongly that Thiago Silva should have been sent off.
Right.
That game as well. But, I mean, we'll get to Chelsea next time. I want to give Potter some time to get settled in. Shall we touch on international football? Very quickly. Because the break occurred. International football is a weird one because I clearly am, apart from Nigeria, who doesn't really play international football, I support England. And sometimes supporting England and being here, it feels like the world of international football revolves around the England national team. But I'm not sure if that's what our listeners are most interested in. Nevertheless, we can start there today. Did you guys watch the friendlies? And what did you think of Southgate's selection?
Go on, Damala.
I think Southgate needs to make a decision on Maguire. It feels like he's avoiding a decision because, you know, traditionally, Maguire has performed for the national team, which I get and I somewhat respect. But at a point where he's no longer performing for the national team, and you can see his club career affect his national team career, even to protect the player for himself, you have to take him out of the firing line because it spills over. That thing just keeps spilling over, and he's going to get caught in something that ideally he should be protected from. So yeah, I think that's probably going to be Southgate's biggest decision to make between now and the World Cup, what to do about Maguire. I think Liverpool not performing well and Trent performing as bad as he has been has given him an excuse or has made the decision easier for what to do with Trent. If Trent was performing, different conversation entirely. But yeah, it's going to be interesting how it all plays out. And I also think for a bit, he doesn't know what his best 11 is. He has different formations, but he doesn't know what his best 11 is on, like what is our default style of play, which for it seemed like England, I assume you are meant to have that.
Damola, you're giving this man more credit than he deserves, and let me tell you why. You are assuming that he hasn't made a decision on Maguire because you simply believe that there's no way that he can come to a conclusion that he wants to start Maguire in the World Cup. I assume that's why he said that. Or that he should even take Maguire in the first place. But he started Maguire twice in a row, bro, in the two friendlies that Liverpool played. I say Liverpool, that England just played before the World Cup. What is he trying to do there? He's trying to give the boy the confidence that he does not have at United. Because he has obviously made a decision that he's taking Maguire, bro. You know? And as a result, Fikayo Tomori left on the bench, didn't even come on to play for England. Arguably England's second best centre-back after John Stones at the moment. Ben White's not even in the squad. Eric Dier starting. My goodness. He even tried Saka at left wing back in the first match and did not try at all in this break. Ben Chilwell. So, sorry to say to England fans, you're doomed. Southgate is a complete idiot. He's the most tactically inept manager I've ever followed as a fan. And it's just a bit sad, really. And it looks like he's also going to go three at the back, which is a crime, looking at the talents that England has on the field. But yeah, who do you guys... The World Cup is starting in 2 months, maybe less even. Where do you guys think the trophy is going? Who do you guys think is looking strongest? Because I have my thoughts on that.
I think Brazil. Although it's going to be interesting with some of the racism Vini and Richarlison have faced recently. We know FIFA is not going to do anything like that. But I think Brazil.
I 100% agree with you, man. Brazil. Brazil and Argentina are looking fantastic as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I think this World Cup is for the South Americans, and I'm not going to... I mean, my own choice is Argentina. I'm not going to overlook Argentina.
They're unbeaten in 20-something games.
Yeah. Messi still has that chip on his shoulder about win the World Cup, right? You say you're the GOAT, win the World Cup. So, yeah, that is somewhere else, you know. So... I dream of it, honestly. I would really like to see Argentina win the World Cup just so that Messi's legacy would be 1,000% cemented in history.
That would be unbelievable if he is to do that, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Unheard of. I mean, we saw France struggle a lot during this break. How good do you think their chances are going into the World Cup?
France have a lot of injuries. They have quite a number of injuries affecting their key players. So maybe their more recent results are not a true reflection of their abilities.
They will be much better. You're right. Did you see that the discussion or the issue that they had around image rights of the players and Mbappe wanting basically freedom for the players to basically be able to deny some sponsorships that the France team has in place already because it was against their values and what have you?
No, I did not say that. I was just going to say Mbappe should rest, but then you said something about values and stuff, so maybe that's a more delicate...
Captain Mbappe. No, it was just because basically... Normally, as a national team, you sell your image rights or whatever to different companies. And these guys were not happy that the French national team was doing it without their say. And Mbappe was the one that lodged the complaints, and the camp actually had to go on strike. Then there was a meeting with the captains and the federation. But yeah, it was stuff like Coca-Cola, sports betting. He doesn't really want to be... He doesn't want his image associated with this.
Yeah, associated with that. Yeah.
And the players backed him up on this one.
Oh, wow. Mbappe is becoming something else. I don't think what he stands for is particularly wrong. Yes, but I don't know why. Why does he have to be Mbappe, man? Let him
let Benzema front it or somebody else. Man.
No, Bugatti Benzema time for that.
When you're the biggest star, you're the biggest star. And he is obviously, I think, despite some of the issues that or the noise around PSG, what I can say is it doesn't appear to be affecting him on the pitch. And he almost seems to have accepted the fact that he's a star and there are responsibilities that come with it. I can't fault him for that at all. And I wish him the best. This is something I believe, I think football, we don't really talk a lot about player empowerment because of all the general sports. I think football players are generally some of the more empowered compared to like maybe NFL or basketball players or hockey or whatever popular sport you want to reference. Or team sports, should I say. So, but on this one, yeah, man, me, I wrote Mbappe. Shout out to him.
Also, speaking of Mbappe, one thing we haven't spoke about is your boy, Paul Pogba. And, first of all, it looks like he's likely to miss the World Cup. Sorry to hear, Paul, get well soon. But what's up with this juju claim? Paul Pogba, him and his brother are in a dispute because one of them is using a witch doctor. Damola, do you have clarity on this story? Or if you do?
I don't. Since the last time we spoke about it, to be honest, it felt more like we need to leave to the authority thing. And also in the general news, there hasn't been much about it, in fairness. It's just, again, I see it as a very unfortunate thing. You never want to experience what was happening with somebody you call blood. I wish the entire family the best, man.
It sounds like you're taking sides, though, Damola. It sounds like you're taking sides.
I don't know the facts. I'll put it that way. All I'm looking at is I know how I feel if I ever hear my brother do something like this to me.
Right, fair enough.
Do what? What did the brother do? That's the question.
I think it has something to do with money. The brother wanted some money from the agents. I don't know, the Mineraola's package or something. I don't know exactly what happened. And then it started turning into some sort of blackmail. If you don't let me in on this money, I'm going to expose all your many da-da-da-da-da. One of which was the voodoo, allegation, you know. For me, it's all just messy and embarrassing. And like I said, when we initially brought it up in the previous episode, I'm just glad that Pogba is not in my club. I'm just glad this whole mess is not associated or, you know, with my club in any way whatsoever. They should sort it out with themselves. Pogba and his brother, all of them within themselves, they should come to some sort of amicable conclusion and leave us out of it, honestly. Pogba is a footballer. Let him get back. Man, this guy, you said United are holding you down or whatever. We left United on a free. You've joined Juventus now. Injury. How long? We've not seen you kick the ball yet for Juventus in a competitive game. You're going to miss the World Cup. And what we're hearing is noise about your brother, voodoo. Bruh, spare me.
Disappointing. Final quick hits before we head off, guys. Wolves have sacked Bruno Lage. Harsh, no?
The way they're sacking managers these days is quite ridiculous. I don't know how bad Wolves are doing. I don't think it's bad enough for us to be hearing that they've sacked their manager.
Really?
I know Leicester are dead at the bottom of the table, and I don't know whether Wolves are close to them. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
Brendan Rodgers lives. Do you think he's next?
I mean, I think with Leicester did not sign any players, right? So there was really like some sort of indication that they were going to have some sort of struggle starting the season just because of a lack of motivation, lack of freshness in the squad. You know, the same stale players. If anything, your stars are going. Fofana is going. There's Ali, you know, there's links with Madison. You know, your best players are, you know, being threatened with leaving. So I think it's a more upper echelon problem with Leicester. They need to sort it out they need to sort out their finances. I don't know what that's saying. Their owner, their board.
I think they should free the manager. The manager should can't even resign. I mean, I feel like if you tell Brendan Rodgers, oh, we can't continue with you anymore, I don't know whether he'll be so upset. What else can he do? He didn't give him a single penny to do business. And then you want magic in a competitive league like the Premier League. I don't know. The guy will be happy to go, I think.
Yeah, well said. Well, guys, I think we're coming to an end on this episode. Quick touch on Spain, if anything. Madrid dropped points this week, guys. Are we having a clearer picture on who is likely to be on top this season, Madrid?
But I don't think Barcelona, but...
Yeah, no, I think if there's anything that's clear, it's going to be dependent on the Clásico again, which I guess is good for La Liga football.
Because that's the model that La Liga football has, to be fair. That's how they did it for themselves. Rodrigo, though, he's been performing amazingly. Which I never expected Rodrigo. Like, I didn't know he had another gear to give. So it's super cool to see. Final one for me. Please, 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 Brazil, take Gabi Jesus to the World Cup. Stop playing. Anything else from you?
Man, Gabriel Jesus will go to the World Cup now. There's no need to worry about that. Yeah, will definitely go to the World Cup.
He deserves to go. Yeah, nothing from me.
Yeah, nothing from me too. Good week of football. Hoping next time we talk, it's another good week of football.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's not fun. That's so happy, man.
Everybody stay blessed, stay well. Don't be like if I to just, you know. Everybody, football is a cyclical game. You have your turn soon. Till then, love yourself, love your neighbor. God bless you. Also, follow socials and comment. All right.